Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Yep, there's John. Hello, John. How are you today?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. You know?
Yeah, good.
And sometimes
good.
That's all we can do, right, John?
That's right. This time of the year, we're all in the same boat.
Let me ask, you get to this time of the year, look, every game has singular importance for you. What are you looking for signs from your team that says, okay, when the tournament comes around, which is right around the corner, my team is playing some of its best basketball? What are some of those signs you're looking for?
Well, it's a loaded question there. Really? Right now, so I didn't mean for it to be a loaded question. Poise.
Yep.
Poise is the number one thing I'm looking for right now. And what I mean by that is, at this point in the year, at times throughout the course of some of these games that hold a lot of value, whether it's standings or the overall direction that your team is going, each possession can seemingly be a little bit more, I don't know, have a little more pressure attached to it than it actually does. And so what's really required is a literally singular possession by possession element of poise. And I'm really actually looking at that every moment with our team, because we have a group that's, we're playing for something right now. We're playing for some seeding, potentially a home court opportunity in the playoffs, something this group hasn't experienced in the last few years. So this is a brand new situation for every single player in our locker room. And, when you're playing in these type of tough games, 1 3-pointer to an inexperienced team can emotionally feel like a 12-pointer, and it's not. So we've really tried to really focus in on this element of poise, taking each possession on offense and defense for what it is, and then being very confident in what we do, whether it be defense or offense, whatever side of the ball. I'm looking for those two things, confidence and poise.
All right. I've done games in my career where, based on personnel and on coach, it'll be end of game, and they'll call a timeout because, look, they want to make sure I's are dotted, T's are crossed. Okay. And then I've done games where, based on personnel and situation, coach won't call a timeout. Go ahead, play. Make them get on their heels, and let's make something happen. At this stage with this group, what are you more in tune with right now with your team at this point?
Well, for us, because, like I said, we're still in this stage of growth, inexperienced to more experienced, quite frankly. I'll have to read the body language. That's a big determining factor for me as I'm observing how they're reacting to 6-point swing or a tough shot or just general fatigue. But I'm more likely to call timeout and get us kind of resettled and get everyone's mind back to the moment and then get them back out on the floor. But there have been times where I let the gym play out a little bit and see if they could, quote-unquote, figure it out. Most teams that are NCAA tournament quality teams are able to adjust without a timeout. But majority of those teams have experience in those moments that they can rely back on. So we're still in that growth process. And for now, I'm more concerned about, their body language. Like I said, their poise, their minds, their confidence. And I'll make the decisions according to making sure that that doesn't dip.
It's also that time of the year. Well, it's almost every time, but this time of the year right now, where the value of every possession, I don't care if there's 8 minutes to go in the first half or 8 minutes to go in the game, is so high. It's one thing that you know it. I mean, that's one of the great things about coaching, John. It's not what you know. It's what they end up knowing.
Right.
Somehow, some way. Right. How important has that been, especially for some of the younger players, to really get a grasp of that possession with 10 minutes to go in the first half is as valuable as 10 minutes to go in the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's people say winning is a habit and losing is a habit. They're habits. In our world, we talk about that pretty regularly, actually daily, and how are you building your habits that are going to hopefully put you in position to have success and be on the winning side of things. But you know, it's all habitual. So, you know, how you do one thing is how you do everything. What is your energy level? What is the what's your concentration level? Are we communicating? All the intangibles that are not scheme related. You got to make sure that box is checked. For us, that's something that is a work in progress, quite frankly. But you know, from a scheme and situation standpoint, I was talking to Coach Flannery, who you know, Coach Flannery, this morning.
Yep.
And you know, that was just a reminder that he gave me. You got to make sure that you are focusing on more situational,
yes,
potential end of game,
mm-hmm,
things that might happen that you just have to make sure that, you know, if you don't have a timeout, you know, you're down three, you need to get a three, and or is your, you as a coach may know what you're doing, but does your team, like you just said, know what they're doing? Because those situations arise in this moment, and you really want to give yourself, actually, you know, as a coach, you want to give your team the best opportunity for them to find success. So they have to be confident and comfortable in knowing what we're doing in those chaotic situations, which will arise. And as we head into March, this is where you have to be, you know, really sharp in those environments.
About an hour ago, I was talking with Jack Hamm, and he was asking me about, after we were done talking about football, he asked me about college basketball, and I was talking about the job that Houston has done this year, changing conferences, but their defense, I said, you and I talk all the time in football, how defense travels. Well, when you beat Army, they shot 29%, 20% from three. You out-rebounded in plus seven. What can you say about your defense in that win?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's ironic. Internally, because at St. Joe's last year where I was the associate coach, we played Houston in Annapolis on Veterans Day.
Yeah,
and I got to see up close and personal an energy level unlike any other.
Yeah,
on that defensive side of the ball. So our team knows what Houston. I mean, we've actually watched Houston in our locker room here at Bucknell, and it's just a perspective, providing perspective. But for us, you know, we've really focused on the last 2 days after getting home from Holy Cross on controlling what we can control. What's our physicality levels? What are our energy and effort levels on the defensive side of things? Because we didn't make shots in the second half against Holy Cross. And if you watch that last 20 minutes, which, you know, we talk about all the time on the show, the support of Lewisburg, they see the body language dipped a little bit. We don't have time. It's only 20 minutes. You don't have time to dip. Like you just said, every possession is important. So
yep,
we're not going to be a team, a program that will play with energy when we make shots and a lack thereof when we don't. And so just focusing on the fact that defense can be such a reliable pillar of our success. And I thought our guys did a really, really great job of carrying over the messaging to putting it in action.
Well, and I was going to say, what does that do for a film session to then emphasize the point you just talked about? You just went through that where, you know, the shooting was the shooting, but your defense carried the day. What does that do in a film session?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly helps you build confidence internally. Like, it really gives you, as a group and the players, it gives them a mentality of, like, we can do this without having to make every single shot. And that should, hopefully, that'll spur us a little bit more here going forward to take that up a notch. But, you know, when you practice something and you concentrate on it and you see a result that is one in which you've been working towards, it'll be something to build on. So that's something that we'll utilize, of course.
You got Loyola coming up next, and they'll be on the road. You beat them at home already. Look, facts are facts. They're struggling, and it's not that your team won't understand that, but you're the one that knows it's nothing when you start. So what are your points of emphasis? Do they become a faceless opponent? Is it Bucknell overcoming Bucknell? How do you approach that?
Yeah, I mean, all of the above. D, that was an answer that I use pretty regularly coming up in all my testing, high school and college, all of the above.
You and I
it's
took
a combination
the same
of all what you just said. You know, it's a faceless opponent, but that's attached to you know, being the best version of Bucknell, that basketball that we can be. And we also want to make sure that we respect Loyola. Loyola is an explosive offensive team. They've shown that actually in the last 5 to 7 games. And we have to make sure that from a preparation standpoint, we are ready to go. I mean, it's so similar to football. You got to know your opponent. You got to know their strengths and versus their weaknesses. And, you know, now's the time of the year where, again, we are focusing on being the best version of Bucknell basketball. But in being that best version, we have to prepare for our opponent. And we have to be so locked into our scouting report and their tendencies so that we can have a very confident first 4 minutes of the game.
Well, they've scored 70 or better in 3 of their last 4, to amplify your point. At this stage, give me a player. And that this man, I don't want it in any way, shape, or form to slight any other player on your roster at this point, because they're all working hard. But is there somebody in the last month that's kind of kicked it up a notch for you that has really impressed you?
Well, they've all kind of kicked it up in different games. You know, when you lose 4 in a row, I think outside the locker room, there's a tendency to wonder if it's impacting the energy levels of your group, and just really happily I could say that it hasn't. So we haven't achieved the results that this group has been working towards when you lose 4 in a row, but everyone's kind of stepping up when they need to. Jack Forrest has been our Iron Man. He's led the league in minutes throughout the entire season up to this point. And, you know, people are just heavily focusing on stopping him. And, you know, having Josh Bosco back has given us another scorer. So everyone's kind of stepped up throughout the course of the last 6 weeks. Noah Williamson is our starting sophomore center, and I think that his comfort level and confidence continues to grow. He's had a couple tough games, you know. So what happens is teams change their scouting reports and start to focus on you when they didn't before, and it's a new experience. And so he's starting to understand how to navigate that, and everyone's experiencing, seriously, real time, something different every game. So it's a growth. There's a growth mindset, a growth pattern. I think we're on the right trajectory right now, but you know, this group continues to work hard, and I'm just really proud of their complete appetite for it. You know, like I said, this is the time of year where a team could start to atrophy a little bit because they're not achieving the results, and we're not in that mentality whatsoever.
Hey, you know what? You win, you're over 500 in conference. That works. Yeah,
one day at a time in Lewisburg, Steve. One day at a time. I appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate you, too. Next one. Hey, look forward to talking to you, John. Thank you.
All right, Steve.
John Griffin.